like, there's a scene where they drive through a car wash with the windows down, and I was losing my mind. I was like, your car is going to be wrecked. And then, like, they trashed their house at the end. And,
yes!
Like, I was so stressed out.
Hello and welcome to the Dan and Joe Film Show, episode 35. Can you believe it? Hello, everybody listening. Hope you're well and keeping safe wherever you are around the world. As always, I'm joined by my partner in crime. He's the guy that makes it all possible. I'd be locked down with him any day of the week, and I'd say yes to any of his requests. It's Joe Richards!
Oh, I wish we were locked down together some days, you know? It'd really? Be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I think we'd kill each other.
Yeah, I think we probably would, actually. It would be interesting to live with you for like a week. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do like a separate podcast, just a 7-episode mini series where we live together for a week and like see if we actually survive by the end of the week. And
should we do like a 24-hour podcast for like comic relief where we
just stay up all night? For comic relief. Yeah, definitely. Find a good charitable cause and do that, like move in together. 24 hours, do like a film marathon, maybe like a Nick Cage-a-thon or something like that.
Yeah.
And just see what happens. We'll probably go insane, lose our minds a little bit, but there we go. That's lockdown.
That's lockdown for you. More lockdown later on in the show. But Joe, how have you been? I know it's been a while since our last episode,
Yeah, good. I'm a whole year older since the last time we did a show, actually, wasn't it? Because I think the last time we did the show was before my birthday. So yeah, a whole year older. Definitely feel it after 2020. But good. Had a nice little break, had a week off of work. So it was lovely. Ate lots of cake, so much cake. There were 4 cakes in total, not just for me, but obviously Hannah, my better half, her birthday is 2 days after mine. So like between us, we had like 4 cakes from family and stuff like that. So I've gained a lot of weight. I know you can't tell, Dan, but yeah, I have.
Okay. All I'm going to say is I'm just picturing Brucey from Matilda. Brucey!
Yeah, that's exactly it. Bruce Bogtrotter. That's how I felt by the end of that week off. Bruce, lovely. Couldn't do a lot, obviously, but Hannah set up some really cool like activities. We went on like a murder mystery around Cardiff, and she baked loads of like killers related items, which I loved. But yeah, good. Like things are starting to open back up now, which is more exciting. I'm genuinely so excited to have my haircut tomorrow.
Yeah.
As soon as Drakeford announced on Friday, I think he announced it like 12:30, barbers are going to be open. I was straight on my local's website and like I was booked my slot straight away for tomorrow. 4:45, it's going to be a magical moment. I'm going to feel like a normal person again. I can't wait, because this is just getting a bit ridiculous.
Well, thank you, Drakeford. And did you know he's a clarinet player? He's very good with his hands on the clarinet. I think we'll have to invite him on and he can maybe do a little tune for us.
That doesn't surprise me at all that he does that. He seems like a bit of like a band camp type character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he's... Yeah, so let's do that. I think that'll be good fun. But how have you been? Obviously, things are starting to open back up. You're back teaching and everything. So how have you been?
Yes, the kids are back, everybody. Well, some of them are. It was just crazy. So all the teachers are back in the school. So it's like, oh, how you been? You're right, Les. Yeah, you're right. You okay? Yeah, great. You don't really care about them, but it's been good. No, it's been good. I think it makes such a difference, like having people in the school. Like even though not all the kids are back, it's just seeing all the staff back. It kind of gets back to normality a little bit. And the kids have been off so long. I mean, when you think England, all of them have gone back already, it's mad. But yeah, barbers, excited for barbers. I did buy a razor kit at the start of January, a really cheap knockoff one for like 15 quid. Right. And we thought, oh, well, if I get something now, you know, I'd be like Tom Holland and Jerry. I'll be getting all sorts of stuff. Dirty razors. So my mum has been great. She's become a barber like in the last 2 months. You know, she's taking appointments now if anybody wants to come along. And she was great. She's done a little fade. She's been doing different attachments, you know.
Wow.
So, and I think that's the perseverance of lockdown, isn't it? You've just got to get on with it and make the best of it. And, you know, and Yeah, I mean, I'm not. My hair's not like yours. You can just grow yours, and it looks gorgeous. They're gorgeous.
Yeah,
locks.
Well, sort of. But how much does Liz charge?
She's a bit hefty, so £15 so far.
Well, it's cheap. It's a better offer than the barbers by me. So
yeah, and she doesn't. She doesn't even get dressed. She just does it in a dressing gown. I think. Oh gosh.
Right, sold. I'm coming over. Book me in for an appointment with Liz, okay?
I have the morning slot, but yeah, no, she's great. She loves it. She loves it. You know, it's a new hobby for her, so I'm like, I'm glad I can serve. But yeah, it's been good. I'm looking forward to shops opening soon, although I was hoping earlier than, you know, I thought. But here we are. What can you do? But what Drakeford, do? My offer still stands. We all love a good clarinet player. We all do. So come on down. Anyway, moving on now. We've got a very special guest on the show. We've had him here before. I did make a claim that he's my favourite guest, and I'm not denying that, okay? I'm going to stick to it. I'm sorry all the other guests, but...
Damn.
Joe hates it when I say that.
These, you know, they're listening. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily, but just in case other people are listening, we don't want any bad blood.
Right, top five. We'll talk about that.
Top five.
Okay. You know, he is the king of Ireland. We love him so much. You know, despite all the chaos that Artemas Fowl has done to Ireland, he's managed to just kind of redeem himself in Ireland. He's a film critic, he's a journalist, he's a writer for Jump Cut Online, and also he does HC movie reviews. Please welcome to the show again, Hamish Calvert.
Woo! Hey. Yeah, it's a crack. And Dan, we don't talk about Artemas Fowl, okay?
It's not said.
Yeah, never. Artemas Fowl, you're never going to live that down, I think, with Dan. That was a painful experience.
It was. I felt for you guys. I really did. You know, you've had a tough lockdown and then that just made it worse. But there we are. But how are you, Hamish? It's so good to have you back because I was saying to Joe just earlier on that we had you on our Christmas special, which was lovely. But the last time you actually came on by yourself was like last April, which is mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad. It's really good to be back. The Christmas special was really fun. Sorry, I still haven't watched Four Christmases, but maybe next Christmas. Really good to be back. It's mad that it's been so long. It feels like it was yesterday, but it also feels like 5 years ago, kind of how lockdown in general feels. But no, things are good despite everything. Like you say, you just kind of have to make the best of it. And I've had a wee haircut by my sister as well. I think everyone's become a part-time barber now in lockdown. But yeah, no, things are good. So thanks for having me back.
And you've been a busy boy, kind of thrusting yourself into how many festivals now have you covered over the last 12 months, do you think?
Oh, there's been a few. Like, I just recently finished Glasgow Film Festival there, which was really good. And then just started on Flare. So got a week's worth of films to watch there as well. So lots of really cool stuff coming out, and excited to get writing about it all, but it's busy, and usually if you said, oh, Hamish, you can watch four films today, I'd be thrilled, but when you have to do that for 7 days in a row, it gets a bit taxing, but it's definitely glad of the opportunity and really happy to be involved in it.
I was going to say, you watch more films than I have cooked dinner sometimes. I'm online, I'm thinking, not another one! But I was going to ask, because obviously if you have to watch four films a day, and obviously by the last one, because I have a big theory, because Joe and I used to see like triple bills sometimes, didn't we, Joe? Yeah. Sometimes Joe would go overboard and crack five out in a day. I mean, that's not the only thing he cracks out, but anyway.
Yeah.
He'd do like five films in a day, right? So he'd do five films, and by the last film, you make the assumption that, you're so bored, you're so tired, you're going to hate it. But I disagree. I think it's all down to the quality of the film. And even though you're tired, sometimes the last film could be the best. But how do you, like, pace yourself in those days?
Yeah, it is tricky, and I think that definitely affects your view of the film, because if you're especially, like, the third or fourth film in, you're more restless, you're tired, you can sort of see that the end is in sight of... You can then go have your dinner or you can chill out for a bit. But I think it just comes down to the quality of the film. If the film's really good, it'll reel you back in. It will engage you. It's just more difficult, I think, if you've just watched, say, a really great film and the next film's just average, you might think it's sort of even below average and sort of vice versa. So it's a strange scenario watching so many in one go. But I think it does just come down to it. There's no excuses, really. If the film's good, you'll know it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anything with Henry Golding in, I mean, you're never bored of that, are you?
Exactly. It's all for the stars for him. thing.
Oh, definitely. Well, it's great to have you on, mate. I'm so happy you're back. And I feel like we make a nice trio, you know?
Yeah.
A nice threesome, don't we? I think it's really nice. So anyway,
easy, mate.
So let's make a start on the news. And the big news today, very, very relevant, is the Oscars nominations has just been announced, which I know we're all excited for. And I think overall, quite a positive reception. I think this year, diversity has kind of been at the top of the list. Obviously, a lot of predictions that we were correct. A lot of actors that we knew were going to get nominations. A lot of snubs as well, which I know there's one particular person you've been tweeting about that you'll definitely talk about. But I think we should talk about one special film that got the most nominations. 10 nominations for Mank. Now, Hamish, you're a big fan of Mank, aren't you?
Mank? More like Wank? Oh, yes. No.
Did not bravo, like bravo.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
a big fan. Like, I do love David Fincher, but I think it's the only film he's ever made that I just did not like. It's so boring. Honestly, I don't really have much more intellectual thoughts on it than that. It came out in December, I think, and I can barely remember anything about it. It was just kind of Gary Oldman lying in a bed for 2 hours, and yeah. I didn't really want to say that.
Oh, goodness me. Did he get sores on the back of his thighs or anything like that?
The audience got a lot of sores from watching that film.
Yeah. So other nominations, you've got The Father, which none of us have seen yet, with 6 nominations. Judas and the Black Messiah, which we reviewed on our last episode, that's got 6. Minari, again, we haven't seen that. That's got 6. As everyone else, really. So Nomadland, Sound of Metal, and The Trial of Chicago 7 all got 6 nominations. Joe, so I'm not going to go through each of the categories, but were there any surprises for you? Were there any snubs that you were like, oh, I wish this person was nominated?
So in terms of the snubs, start off with the negatives. Obviously, I was a massive fan of Delroy Lindo's performance in Five Bloods. I remember when we reviewed it on that show last year, I just remember saying at that time, if he has not got loads of nominations come award season, I'm going to riot. So I am actually going to riot and like flip this table over or something. He was so good. And it's great because I've seen a lot of people say the same things. So there's a lot of people who still have that performance in their mind like a year later on. So I think that speaks volumes for his performance. It's not just me. A lot of people are saying it. Barry Jenkins, the director of Moonlight today, tweeted an image which he actually took last year whilst watching The Five Bloods, and he held up like an Oscar in front of the screen with Delroy Lindo on there. So I think it's a real shame that he hasn't been acknowledged like across the board, basically, at all. And I think there was definitely room there for him. Otherwise, I think in general, yeah, it's great. It's a much more diverse year in terms of the nominations. You know, 2 female directors are up for awards. That never happens with the Oscars. So I think that's great. Hopefully they'll continue that going forward, because obviously I feel like the Oscars and BAFTAs, especially with their nominations for like Rocks and things like that, they did listen to the kind of outrage from last year, because there really was no excuse in ignoring a lot of the films like Queen and Slim last year. I think as well, there's some really cool like underdogs in there. I've not seen Sound of Metal, but I've just cannot wait to watch that. And like from what I've heard, that could be a real underdog story, and like that could be a surprise win. And I'm actually seeing Minari on Thursday. I've got tickets for a preview on Thursday, so very excited to see that as well. But it's going to be weird, isn't it? I don't know about you guys, but like the Oscars are April 25th. I'm not going to see Nomadland more than likely until like the 30th. So it's going to be weird. Like I was thinking, how am I going to place my bets this year? Like it's going to be really difficult. I don't know what you guys think about it, if it's going to be a different year, because we're not going to obviously see a lot of the nominations beforehand.
I think Biden 2024 personally, but I wouldn't put my hopes on it. I'm joking. And there's more. If Godzilla vs. Kong was in Oscars, we'd just be able to see that, wouldn't we? Yeah. I love how like that's being pushed ahead. But you're right. Like Nomadland, The Father. By the time that comes out, Anthony Hopkins will be dead, probably.
Oh, like, don't say that. That's I'm all kidding. We would need.
I love you, Anthony. Please don't die on us. You know, please stay with us, for goodness sake. Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be ages, isn't it? I think it's such a strange year, isn't it, this year? And I think Oscar's hype isn't maybe as big as it normally is every year, because I remember Joe and I, maybe Hamish is the same, going to the cinema, and you went to watch Oscar films that you wouldn't necessarily jump to. Like, I remember one year I watched, like, Manchester by the Sea, and I loved it, and I wasn't expecting to. And things like Steve Jobs, Carol, Joy, all these films that, you know, really got me into the Oscar circuit. And I was like, wow, these are fantastic. And sometimes you see them in like a double bill or whatever. But I think it's harder because certain studios are holding on to them until like June, July. And by that point, I mean, are people going to be that excited about them, to be honest? So, Hamish, what do you think? We spoke about Mank there. Are there any contenders that you're really rooting for that you want to win?
Well, it's kind of like the same as you guys were saying, that we haven't seen a lot of them. So the only thing I can think of that's like possibly a good thing about that, if we want to spin it that way, it could be that, say, that these films that haven't been released do really well at the Oscars, then hopefully that will be reported on, and then maybe people will then go see them as a result of that. Because sometimes when they're all out before, you do get that Oscar buzz. But I think it's like with Parasite, I remember, obviously, everyone who's really into movies and films was always going to see it. But then sometimes, like some of my work colleagues, they would have sort of started talking about it after the Oscars. So that's maybe one sort of positive way we could look at it. But I'm also kind of impatient and greedy and would like to see them all beforehand. So, yeah. But I think of the ones that I've seen, probably Judas and the Black Messiah, which I only watched a couple of days ago. But it was really good. Really glad to see the acting nominations there, although quite strange that they're both in supporting, but
yeah,
glad to see the love anyway. But I just hope they don't cancel each other out. That's my only worry there, because they're both great performances. But yeah, probably that film of the ones nominated.
Definitely. And yeah, I'm excited too. So the Oscars is taking place April 26th, and also we'll be doing our own Oscars special show. Make sure to check that out. Aren't we, Joe? Very excited for that.
Yeah, very excited. We're going to get a panel together, much like the Christmas show. We're going to get a couple of people involved, and that should be out, I think, on the 23rd. So a couple of days prior, where we'll be offering our predictions as to who we think might win, which is going to be very interesting considering we've probably only seen two of each category.
It'd be like 10 minutes in, right, guys, we're done now, we can all go home.
Yeah,
so make sure to check that out. In other news this week, obviously the big, big news story is that Zack Snyder's Justice League is finally being revealed to us. It feels like months and months since we've been anticipating it. It's been released this Thursday, 18th of March, on HBO Max in America, and we've got it over here on Sky Cinema, or Now TV. Are you guys excited for this? Because I saw a funny story where they leaked it, didn't they, on HBO Max by mistake. All these kids try to watch Tom and Jerry, and all of a sudden they see Superman's bulge, and they're like, blimmin' it, what's going on here, man? Hamish, are you excited for this, or is all the hype and all the reputation, is it just gone over your head, or are you still really excited to see it?
Okay, so I am a fan of DC movies. Man of Steel is one of my favourite superhero movies. I do like Batman v Superman. Justice League, the first one, is shite. It is rubbish. I do like DC movies, but I am so sick of hearing about this cut. I'm happy that Zack Snyder's got to do it, because I think the circumstances where he had to leave, I think that must be devastating for him not to see his vision fulfilled. And I'm happy that he has got to do that. And I'm happy that it seems to be that it's worked out for the better. But my gosh, the fans are so annoying. I just can't take the constant analyzing of it. People who are excited for it, that is fine. I'm totally okay with that. It's just the overanalyzing of things. And I think that was a problem with the likes of WandaVision. And it happens with Star Wars as well. I think just all these big franchises, the fan bases are just so annoying. but I am excited for it. I wish it wasn't 4 hours, but I'm always going to watch a DC movie. I'm always going to watch a superhero movie. So I'm happy that it exists, but I just wish the fans would be quiet.
And have you planned how you're going to tackle it? So are you going to do the full 4 hours straight, or because it's been released in like chapters, isn't it? Like, you know, it's going to obviously be released as the 4 hour film, but I think Zack Snyder has said, you know, this might be a good time to take a break here around chapter 3, or this might be a good time to, you know, have a snack around chapter 6. So have you planned how you're going to tackle the thing?
If it was meant to be watched in episodes, it would be a series. Go hard or go home.
he's gonna bust out in one sitting. That's what I'm talking about. Hamish, I'm sorry, you're going up the leaderboard again. I mean, the Four Christmases thing took you down to number four. You're back at number two at the minute, so you're doing quite well. Yeah, I hated Justin Leeds. Like, I hated it. I thought it was absolute, just such a mess. I mean, when I watched it in the cinema, I thought it was like, I was like, oh, it's not my cup of tea. I'm a bit of a Marvel boy myself. But then I watched it on Netflix, and me and the half watched it, and we watched it like when we went away to Cornwall. And after an hour, we fell asleep. I was like, this is so bad. I was like, how did I not remember how bad this was? Like, nothing makes sense. The whole film is just, oh, introducing characters. And then, oh, I honestly, I think it's so bad. I think it's the worst. And I'm with you. Like, I quite like Batman v Superman. I don't care. I think it has a more coherent storyline. And I even like Jesse Eisenberg in it, all right? Shoot me. I don't care. And then Birds of Prey, I love. Justice League, for me, is just the worst DC film. I can't think of this one worse. So I'm not really excited about watching it. And I do think if Zack Snyder is going to be like, oh, watch it at this point and this point, just give us a pamphlet then. Don't make the film 4 hours. You know what I mean? Like, 4 hours is a bit excessive, mate, you know? Just, like, make it 2.5 and don't have to say to us, oh, well, I'd advise you stopping here. Like Hamish said, if you wanted to be a series, you know, cut it up into different parts. Mm. So I will watch it. I am excited because I like people redeeming themselves. But do you think this is going to become a trend where it's like, oh, the Suicide Squad, you know, they're going to do another cut for that and whatnot. But yeah.
Well, that's exactly what's happened, isn't it? So now that the fanboys have gotten what they want, like, what are they going to do with their time? Because like Hamish said, you know, there are a lot of people who have poured so much of their life into this campaign, you know, like people have paid to have a plane with like Release the Snyder Cut flown over Warner Brothers. And you just think this is utter madness. So now they've finally gotten what they've wanted. What do they do with their time? So obviously the next step is to get release the Ayer cut trending. Obviously, David Ayer has made a point of saying that Warner Brothers did the exact same thing to him as they did to Zack Snyder with the Suicide Squad film that David Ayer made. So a lot of people are kind of analyzing that now. Apparently there's a lot of footage within that film which wasn't used with the Joker. He's like, there's images of him with a burnt face. So I feel that will be the next stage. Now everybody will kind of, and by all means, the fans have responded really well to this, and critics have responded well to the Snyder Cut. So I think Warner Brothers might look at that and think, well, if people have responded positively, why not let David Ayer have a go as well and release the Suicide Squad Ayer Cut? So that'll be interesting to see what happens next. Personally, I don't agree with it. I think what's interesting about Snyder now is that he's come out and gone, well, actually, there were about 4 cuts of the film that I made. There was one which was a 2-hour, 20-minute cut. There was one which was a 2-hour, 40 cut. And then there was one which was a 3-hour cut. And then there's one which is a 4-hour cut. So it's like, well, you know, why not just release the 2-hour, 40? Like, I feel like, did he really have this cut in his mind all along? And I think he's definitely stirred the pot a lot to get what he's wanted. And it's great to see that vision finally realized. But I mean, come on, you've got to understand that Warner Brothers were never going to release a 4-hour film into, you know, multiplexes. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I am interested to see what it's like. I'm hoping I enjoy it a lot more than the original, because the original was tosh, as you said, and I am going to do it in one sitting as well. I've committed. I'm going to do it in one sitting.
Good. I'm with you, boys. Less is more, you know? Less is more, and I can vouch for that for sure. Less is more.
The great darkness begins. I will bathe in your fear.
We have no fear!
There's an attack coming.
Not coming. It's already here.
Moving on now to some reviews. And the first one we're going to talk about is talk about pandemic and COVID. This is called Lockdown. So this stars Anne Hathaway, who I love, okay? I'm Team Anne Hathaway, all the way, baby. Anne Hathaway and Chiwetel Ejiofor. Hope I pronounced that right. Yeah. They're a married couple. They live together. They're on the brink of breaking up, and then lockdown happens. They live in London, and they think to themselves, oh, Blimminette, we're going to have to live together now. And they get on each other's nerves. Chiwetel Ejiofor has been furloughed from his job. Anne Hathaway is the CEO of this fashion company, and she's had to let people go. Life is not going well for them, is it? I mean, thousands of people are dying, but they've got real issues, haven't they? So things are not going well. So Anne Hathaway's like, oh, well, you know, I've got this delivery. I've got this shipment from Harrods, you know, the biggest store in London. Well, there's this diamond. It's worth £3 million. You're going to be the driver. We're going to pull off a heist. We're going to get this diamond. We're going to replace it with a fake one. And we're going to be rich. Okay. And then hilarity and chaos ensue. Here's a clip.
Hi, Paxton.
We heard London's in total lockdown.
We are all locked in this psychological prison of burning aloneness.
How's Linda?
She's somewhere in the house.
Is there some type of issue?
We are fine.
Not only is everything not okay, nothing is okay.
Linda said she was planning to end our thing. Nobody wants to live alone. For 2 weeks, we are locked together here.
You know, you think I'm so happy and normal.
No, I'd never accuse you of being happy and normal.
Because I'm not!
Shaky ground. I've been furloughed. Now there is literally zero purpose to my life.
I'm going to get provisions.
We need milk, bread.
Wait, how many asses have you got?
Piss off.
The nice people that I fired,
they were fired because of me.
It's not about the virus, it's about who I am and what I do for a living.
You fired them well.
Thank you.
Is that a glass of wine?
Yes. Yeah, it is.
We have a situation, Paxton. All the major department stores are closing. They want everything out in the next 4 days.
We have a problem. At Harrods, we have $4 million worth of jewelry. Someone's going to have to pack the valuables up.
I believe you're a man who can be trusted.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I can be trusted.
It's going to have to be someone that we trust, so that means inevitably it's going to be me. It's a new dawn. What are you taking out of Harrods?
A diamond. It's a
new day. Since lockdown, I'm looking back at myself like that was then, and this is now. Yeah. The bastards who told me to fire those people, they are bad. You and I are good, and good is better than bad.
You're talking about stealing a diamond. £3 million. Live wild or die, Linda. And I'm feeling good.
Harrods is the most glamorous store in the world. I know all the security guards. I know the security systems.
I just need to get the gentleman's name.
His name? Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe?
Wow.
What can go wrong?
Lockdown one last ride.
Oh, Lord of art in heaven.
Oh, my God, my God.
Forgive us the sin of deception.
Who'd have thought a month ago we'd be doing this?
Not me.
And I'm feeling good.
So that was a clip there from Lockdown. So interesting. This film kind of came out of nowhere because this was supposed to be in the cinema. And then I think Warner Brothers were just like, oh, just get it out there. Cost $15.99, everybody. You could buy a nice harvester meal for that. All right, $15.99. You could have steak. You could have a sirloin steak for that much. So $15.99 on all streaming platforms at the minute. It was released back in America early January. And interestingly enough, it is set during lockdown. It's set during kind of, I think, the first kind of lockdown in London. And I know. I don't know how you two feel about it, but I do know. I'm not going to spoil it, though. I found this atrocious. I just thought it was so dull. I was watching it and I was like, it was a Saturday night and I had like a glass of wine. I was like, what am I doing? I was like, what am I actually doing watching this film? Nothing's going on. It's Zoom call the movie. Nothing's happening. And I just thought it was just so misjudged. It had no idea what it wanted to do. And for me, it should have either been a drama about a failing marriage in lockdown and take place entirely inside this house, right? So I think that could have been quite funny. How they get in each other's nerves, how they take each other off. And there's a couple of scenes that do that. Or it should have been a full-on heist film during lockdown. And it should have been them planning and conniving, thinking, right, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Maybe they target all the rich companies in London and they give all the money to the poor and they give it to the NHS and make that entire film either about in lockdown or about the heist. Instead, we have that combined together. The first hour is so boring. It's just Anne Hathaway making Zoom calls and going, oh, I've got to fire you, I'm so sorry. And then Chiwetel Ejiofor comes in and goes, I'm going to the shop, love. What do we need? Bread and milk? And Anne Hathaway being Anne Hathaway. Think about Anne Hathaway. You give her a good script. You give her a chewy role. She's great. You give her nothing and she overacts so much. I think she's awful. I'm going to say it's one of her worst performances ever, to be honest with you. Where Chiwetel Ejiofor comes in and goes, oh, do you want milk and bread? She's like, milk? Bread? Was I not happy and normal 20 years ago? Back in San Bernardino when we fell in love? And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And put the cigarette down, love, and sit down. You'd sort it out. So I found her just exhausting, to be honest with you. Chiwetel Ejiofor, I think, tries his best. He has a kind of a decent character. He reads poems on the streets of London. I mean, it's very Shakespeare-esque. I quite liked it. But yeah, I just found this film completely misjudged. I just found it lacked any sort of resonance. It's about the pandemic, but I didn't really relate to anything because they're both really rich, actually, and they live in a really nice house. So it's like, what's the point? Am I supposed to feel sorry for them? All the comedy falls flat. There's a running joke about Edgar Allan Poe. I know who he is. I know a lot of people know who he is. So, you know, don't go at Edgar like that, please. And I just found the whole concept felt contrived. It lacked any sort of authenticity. I really hated this film a lot. And it's sad because I like Anne Hathaway and I defend her on a bad day. But this was a bad day, Anne. Too bad. Hamish, what did you think?
Yeah, I hated it as well. When it was announced, there was a whole like uproar and be like, no, this is too soon. This is really insensitive. And I thought, well, wait, like, it sounds quite good. Like, it's meant to be a lockdown heist movie. So I sort of thought, right, they're not going to do too much about lockdown. It's going to be sort of a fun escape style movie from all the terribleness of lockdown. But no, it's about all the terribleness of lockdown. Like you said, Dan, it's just so misjudged. It's far too realistic, but then also so unrealistic at the same time. It just goes through all the mundane things and it's so triggering. I was watching it and I was thinking, oh no, they're baking bread. They forgot their mask. They make a joke about toilet roll. And like, it's just all these things. And you're like, these all happen. And then I sort of twigged. It's like, I'm still in lockdown. I'm still in lockdown. I'm watching this. It's a different lockdown, but it's sort of the same thing. I think it was maybe like 5 or 10 minutes in, I sort of realized, I was like, oh no, this is not going anywhere. And I'm going to sit and watch this whole thing. Yeah, not recommended for lockdown viewing. Or even when we're through this, when lockdown's over, still don't watch it. There's no reason to watch this. Definitely don't rent it for $15.99. Yeah. Honestly, worst film of the year. I will be shocked if something beats it to the worst film of the year. And we're only in March.
Wow. Well, it's not quite as bad as Sia's music for me, because
leave Sia alone.
I know, Dan wouldn't like that, but yeah, I think you both are absolutely right. Don't have a lot more to add, to be honest. I think you've hit the nail on the head. It is just so misjudged because rather than focus on the people who lose the jobs, we focus on the person who fires them, and we're supposed to feel sorry for this person who fires the people who lose their jobs. And there's literally a character in there who has a child and brings the child up with him as he's being fired. And yeah, I know it's supposed to be funny, but like, it's not, because like, this has happened to people. Like, people I know have lost their jobs through lockdown. So it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. It just reeks of celebrities being bored over lockdown. And I said in like my review on Letterboxd, like, we all thought the Gal Gadot Imagine video was going to be the most self-indulgent thing celebrities were going to do over lockdown, because I remember when that came out. And again, that was so misjudged. You know, Gal Gadot woke up one morning and went, you know what normal people will like? They'll like a bunch of us celebrities singing Imagine. And like, everybody was like, we're in lockdown, like, leave us alone. Like, and then this comes out, and again, you've got all these cameos. You've got like Ben Stiller, you've got Mindy Kaling, all these other friends of the cast, I imagine, and the filmmakers who kind of pop in and go, oh, look, it's me. I'm doing something in lockdown. Aren't you happier for seeing my face? And it's like, no, we're not, because this film is so dull. It's so boring. And like, lockdown feels like an eternity already. The last thing we want is like bad cinema, bad film to watch for like 2 hours. It felt like so much longer than 2 hours. And I think it is literally about an hour into the film before they even reference the diamond heist. And it's just like, where is it going? You're absolutely right. It's just a mess. It's just all over the place, and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. What I would recommend, if you've not watched Staged on iPlayer, which is David Tennant and Michael Sheen, if you watch Lockdown and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, which it will, go and watch Staged on iPlayer, because that's the total opposite. They're 15-minute episodes, because I think they understand that 15 minutes is enough of a Zoom call. They have loads of celebrity cameos, but it's so much better because they play on the ego, where this one is just like so self-indulgent and not self-aware at all. So yeah, not very good at all.
Or if you're in the mood for peeing your pants, watch Host.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Like, that is an example of a film made over lockdown, which just used the technology available and made something really exciting and terrifying and like incredible. And then you have this.
And do you know what annoyed me the most? Chiwetel Ejiofor, his face was always off the screen all the time. He needs to angle his Zoom calls better.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. You are in a film. Yeah, I don't know. That just annoyed me the most. I was like, one star already. Anyway, moving on now. Joe, we also saw Tom Holland. He's back. He's not Spider-Man, is he? Very different role for him. He's buffed up a little bit, isn't he, too, in Cherry. Do you want to talk to us about what Cherry's about?
Has he buffed up, really? I don't know. I think he's always been quite buff, hasn't he, with Spider-Man? I think he's always had...
I did notice an extra pack on there, I've got to
really?
Say.
Really?
Yeah,
oh, you've
did.
Been counting. You've been keeping tabs of the packs.
I have.
Good to know. Yes, this stars Tom Holland. It's called Cherry. It's now streaming on Apple Plus, and it's directed by his good friends and frequent collaborators, the Russo brothers, who are more famous for probably Avengers Endgame and Infinity War and Captain America Civil War, all the best like Marvel movies, basically. This is a very different film, a big departure to what we've seen from them previously. And Tom Holland basically plays the titular Cherry. We meet him at the beginning of the film, and it does that classic thing. It's based off of a book, so it does that classic thing. It has a prologue and we meet him at the beginning and he's basically robbing a bank, and then it's kind of does that thing like the needle drop and it's like, how did I get here? And then it like kind of goes back, and the rest of the film is basically kind of recounts the last 15 years of his life to this point where he's robbing a bank. And we quickly see him meet his college sweetheart. They fall in love very hard. He does, at least at first. And when he finds out that she's going to go to Montreal to study, he decides to enlist in the army, because why not? Like, if anybody's ever had their heart broken, they'll know that like the first thought you get in your head is to just go and enlist in the military.
YOLO.
This is set during the Iraq War. So Cherry ends up going to Iraq, fighting in Iraq. He's a medic. And then he basically comes back. He suffers from PTSD. He then becomes a junkie. He then, his wife becomes a junkie. And then he inevitably ends up robbing banks to feed his habit. If it sounds like a lot, it is. Here's a clip.
So what makes a joker like you want to join the United States Army for?
This guy had a face like death, and every other word out of his mouth was Joker.
Goddamn Joker.
Well, I've just been seeing on the news, you know, that there are kids dying over there. You know? Guys from Cleveland who are my age, just trying to do something good, and here I am, feeling sorry for myself because my girlfriend broke up with me.
Damn. She broke your heart. You searching for that gold in the gutter. a sense of purpose, right?
Yeah, sense of purpose.
Ah, damn. Tell you about purpose. I like him.
I was too easy. He knew he had me, and so by the next day, I was sworn in.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
Okay, so that was a clip from Cherry there. I'd seen a lot about this, and I mean a lot about this prior to watching the film. Specifically, a shot which has become sort of infamous already. Literally, I think there was one evening where I spent on Twitter, and that's all I saw was this shot. And there's a shot in the film, which is a POV from Tom Holland's basically. And I've been thinking how I'm going to say it, but like there's no other way to say it than Tom Holland's. So immediately I was like, okay, this is going to be an interesting watch. And it has been divisive from the get-go. And I can totally understand why, okay? The film is an absolute mess. There's like a hodgepodge of genres at play. And like there are different chapters through like the film, much like the Snyder Cut, I imagine. 1 minute it's a romance, the next it's like a war movie, then it's like a crime thriller. So there are definitely like different genres going on through it. There's like multiple themes of like, you know, the military and like abandoning the veterans, and like there's whole stuff about like, you know, like banks being bad. So like it's got a lot to say, but perhaps too much to say, and it doesn't really put it across it in a very clear way either. So I can totally understand why a lot of people are like, I hated this movie. Me, I quite liked it. And the reason I liked it, maybe because I watched it after lockdown, I don't know, but I think like, obviously, we've been in lockdown for a while now, and I feel like studios and streaming services have done their best to provide us with as many films as possible. And we've had some great films come out. But Netflix have been particularly great with like their foreign language movies. But like a lot of it felt like a kind of stagnant, three-star, middle of the road kind of movie. Cherry does something different. I don't know if it works, but it does do something different. Like it's got that one shot that we've already talked about. It's got Tom Holland masturbating in a porter cabin. Like it's trying to do something different through the film. And I kind of watched it and I thought, you know what? Like I've not seen a film like this in a long time. And it's 2 hours, 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, really? I can't be bothered to sit through a bad film for that long. But I was hooked, like from the get-go, considering even in 90-minute films, they can be so dull that you have that temptation of reaching for your phone these days. I didn't reach for my phone once in the entire time of the 2 hours, 20 minutes because I was absolutely hooked. So I think it is a mess. I totally understand why people hate it. And I couldn't defend it. I couldn't go, you're wrong. But like, I liked it because I could see that it was trying to do something different. And I bought it weirdly as a romantic film. I thought it was quite sweet that Tom Holland didn't watch porn and only masturbated to his girlfriend. I thought that was quite sweet. And like, it is a romantic movie. So I quite liked it. It's not mind-blowing, and I was going to give it a higher rating than I did. I didn't give it as high a rating as I did because it is too long and the middle does lag a bit and sag. But I thought it was different. And if you're looking for something different, why not give it a go? What did you think, Hamish?
Well, I didn't hate it. I'll say that. And like you said, it's not particularly good. It's a mess, but like you say, it's watchable. I think Tom Holland does a lot of the heavy lifting here. Yeah. I think if there was a lesser known star or someone with not as much charisma as him, I think Tom Holland's a very watchable leading man. And he does well to keep you engaged, I think, because everything around him is pretty awful. Like you say, it's kind of a lot of things in one. It's like a romance movie, a college movie, a heist movie, a war movie. Like there's everything going on. And I think it tries to say too much and ends up saying literally nothing at all. I think I was most engaged when it was in the sort of war section. Because that was, you sort of got through the initial introductions, the scene was set, and then this seemed to be the main focus of the film. And I think as soon as he came back from war, that's when it lost me, because I just sort of thought, right, we've still got a long way to go here. But it was doing well in those scenes, I thought. But yeah, it just lost me after that, really. And I think that infamous shot is going to be the film's legacy. That is all this will be remembered for. And I think it's probably got that to thank, because if it didn't have that, I don't think anyone would be talking about it at all. So I think that's actually the best thing about this film.
That they'll ask you, were you there?
Were you there when you saw that shot?
Hey, granddad, were you there when it happened? Oh, boy. Let me tell you about that Tom Holland. I agree. I really like this film. I did. And I think because it's so distinctive, it's so memorable in a lot of ways. You're right. I think for me, the first half an hour, I didn't really like at all. I thought the romance felt very staged. I mean, who gets married after one date and has their honeymoon in the subway? I mean, I've been to some crap weddings, but that takes the cake right there. And you're right. It picks up on these themes and tries to push it in. And it becomes too repetitive, I think. It doesn't work in that way. It's one of those films where it thinks it's more clever than it is. For me, Tom Holland is absolutely superb. I thought he was fantastic. And I've kind of been a fan of him as Spider-Man, but I haven't really seen a lot of him otherwise. Once you watch him in this, I do think you have a new kind of respect for him as an actor, because he throws himself into this. They're just like, the Russo brothers just like, yeah, do this now. He's like, okay, yeah, all right. I agree with Hamish. It works better in those war scenes. It works better as a character study about PTSD, because there are scenes after that where, like, I mean, it's very graphic, but he says stuff like, you know, I poo blood and I'm shaking in the night. And you go, oh, this is like disgusting, but it works on that level. And you do feel a little bit dirty after watching this. I needed a cold shower. I was like, oh, so many needles. I don't even want my COVID vaccine now, to be honest with you. I'm joking. So yeah, I think that middle section works the best. I didn't think the romance worked at all. The last half an hour is ridiculous when he's like a drug addict and he has to do these like bank heists. I thought they were just stupid. And again, it broke into like a high school and looked at the GCSE drama syllabus and just took all the techniques from that. Like, there's flashbacks, freeze frames, breaking the fourth wall, you know? It's just like, oh, right, we've seen this in every GCSE drama piece ever. So yeah, I just didn't like those. I thought they distracted the audience and it kind of took away from the drama. But I really liked it. I thought it was very memorable. I was thinking a lot about it today, just all those kind of memorable scenes in the film. And again, Tom Holland is just excellent in this. He's so good. And I think I really like Apple TV Plus. I think they're not rushing the content. What they release, okay, maybe it's divisive, but actually I think at least they're well-made and good quality. Whereas I feel like sometimes Prime and Netflix just kind of, oh, it's one every week. And sometimes it's like, well, it's trash a little bit. So I like the fact that they're releasing one like every month. And I really love Palmer as well with Justin Timberlake. So is he going to win any awards? No, unfortunately. I do think Tom Holland deserves something for this, but yeah, I really liked it. It's going to be divisive though. And that POV shot, oh boy, oh boy. There we are. Moving on now from that shot to Yesterday.
Something completely different.
Oh, if that turned up in Yesterday, we'd be like, what?
Yeah, that'd yeah, be no, on no many levels.
So this is Yesterday. It's available on Netflix now. This stars my girl, Jennifer Gardner. I mean, forget Anne Hathaway. This is my girl right here. I'm team Jennifer Gardner all the way, baby. And this stars here in Edgar Ramirez. We're not so much team Edgar Ramirez, are we, Joe?
I still haven't forgiven him for Last Days of American Crime.
No, we haven't. I mean, he, like you said, you can shave that beard, but we still know who he is.
I genuinely felt like he was in disguise in this movie. Like, he was like, right, I've got to hide who I actually am now, because after that stinker.
His makeup artist needs an Oscar. I tell you what, the amount of foundation that is on his face. He was like glowing. I was like, what's going on? Okay, so this stars Jennifer Garner and Edgar Ramirez. They're parents to three kids. They're super tired and they're tired of saying no all the time, you know? They're good parents, but the film frames it so they're bad parents, and they keep telling their children, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. They've lost the fun factor, guys. They've lost what fun is being about. So their kids go to them and say, guys, there's this whole new trend where for 24 hours, you have to say yes to everything that we do. And obviously there are rules, like they can't ask for anything in the future and they can't ask for anything illegal. So Tom Holland, keep those needles away, please. And so basically the story follows them going to all these different kind of crazy events, crazy adventures that they go on, and they end up reconnecting as a family once again. Here's a clip.
Car wash is like being reborn. This is exactly what I needed, kids. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. This one's easy.
Hey, guys. One more thing.
Windows down!
What?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
What?
Yeah, well, you have to. It's yesterday.
What do we do?
Colonelize your car.
Come on, Mom. You can say it. One word, two letters, N-O.
Windows down!
No, 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 no.
So that was a clip there from Yesterday. Now, after watching this trailer, you kind of know what you're getting into, don't you, really? And I watched this Friday night by myself, and I'm a sucker for these types of films. They remind me of like Diary of a Wimpy Kid and like all these like really, you know, crappy Disney family films. I'm a sucker for them. I really like them a lot. And surprisingly, a lot of the hate on the film is towards Jennifer Garner's character. A lot of people don't like her character. So they find it, she's very controlling over the kids. I disagree. I think I liked only her in the film, really. That's the only person I liked. I'm team Jennifer Garner because, look, she's looking out for her kids. Yeah, she's a bit tough. Yeah, she's a bit strict, but who, you know, parents have to be. And the whole way the film frames like, oh, it used to be cool and now you're not. And I think the whole Yesterday, she proper goes for it in this film, in the Yesterday. She really does, like from 6 a.m., she's there with confetti and stuff. And I'm like, and the kids are like, oh, come on, is that all you've got? And I'm like, stop being so ungrateful. She's doing her best. I liked her, and I did love the whole mother-daughter message in the film. I thought the last 20 minutes, I was like, you know what? This film isn't just chaos and hilarity and kind of poop gags and, you know, all these silly jokes. It's central. It's about a relationship between a mother and a daughter and how, you know, we need to start trusting each other a bit more and not being so embarrassed all the time, because parents do what's best for you. Edgar Ramirez, very miscast here, I've got to say. I think you could have found so many other actors. He just looks very uncomfortable. He's not, and I know he plays a dad where he's like, oh, you know, I'm the good guy. I want to be the good cop here. And I just didn't feel like they were married. I didn't feel like Edgar Ramirez and Jennifer Garner were married at all. I mean, the kids are kind of cute, I guess. It follows the same beats you've seen from these types of films. It does get very predictable. And again, there was just certain scenes I found really strange. Like, there's a scene where the ambulance driver's like, oh, put my lights on, I'll take you to this event. And it's like, I think because of COVID and stuff, I just found that a bit in bad taste. And I was just like, oh, I know this is a family film, I get it. But like, you know, let's not kind of push this message on. So I thought the whole Jennifer Garner mother message was great. I love her to bits. I think, you know, team Jennifer Garner all the way. I just think it's very generic, very cliched. You've seen it all before. But I think for families, if you're looking for a film on Netflix, why not? Hamish, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's sort of just harmless fluff, really. I didn't particularly like it, but I can totally see people enjoying it and sticking it on a Friday, Saturday night and everyone enjoying it. It's something everyone can watch. I think there's just really not a lot of story going. It's quite a very weak concept. And I didn't actually realize that this Yesterday thing is a thing in real life. I saw people commenting after it saying this is only a recent trend in parenting, and I was like, oh, well, no kids, didn't know.
What? But, I didn't know that. I still didn't know that. That's amazing.
I didn't know, and I have 5 kids.
Yeah, so I don't know. It just, maybe it will work better for parents and families who maybe do actually do this. But I thought it just was like constant scenes of this family like wrecking all their nice stuff. Like, there's a scene where they drive through a car wash with the windows down, and I was losing my mind. I was like, your car is gonna be wrecked. And then like they trashed their house at the end. And
yes,
I was so stressed out. I felt like Jennifer. I was like, no, can't do this. No, no.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. It just felt very sort of overindulgent in like their own things and like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, so I thought it was a bit odd that way. But I think it is just going for sort of high energy, big set pieces, like I don't think the comedy works that well, but it's very pleasant to watch. But I don't think, unless you watch it with family or you just want a really easy watch, it's okay. But I think if you're looking for anything to engage with, I would say no to Yesterday, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree. I think the key thing there is, like you said, Hamish, it's just harmless fluff. I mean, I watched it, and after Last Days of American Crime, I kind of wanted to hate it for Edgar Ramirez. But then I kind of watched it, I was like, you know what? That's fine. Like, it didn't offend me. You know, I've seen some films this year which have offended me. It was didn't sort of bore me. It just kind of flew by at a decent pace. It's got some nice moments. I think the standout scene is the capture the flag with the water balloons, like that. Like you said, Hamish, that really kind of captures the high energy of the film. I quite like that moment. And I think, yeah, it's fine. I think it will play well to an audience. It's like 80 minutes, 90 minutes of credits, and it flew by, and I thought, yeah, it'll do okay with its target demographic. I've totally forgotten about it already, to be honest, but it was harmless, and I thought I can't be mean to it for just doing what it's kind of wanting to do and supposed to do. So I thought it was middle of the road, fine, fun. That's about as high a praise as it's going to get from me, to be honest. It's fine. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's disposable, isn't it?
Yeah.
There we are. So Yesterday is available on Netflix now. Now to our favourite part of the show that we've been looking forward to. It's our new segment. Hamish, are you ready to play Two Truths and a Lie? Okay, Hamish, so this is our new game. This is a game we played last episode. Joe had a go on this. He failed. He didn't do...
I did actually fail, and I've not stopped thinking about it since.
I know. You've beat yourself up, aren't you? You're like Tom Holland and Cherry.
I am, yeah. Looking for my next fix.
Yeah. So, Hamish, in Two Truths and a Lie, we're going to tell you three facts, okay? Each fact is from each film that we've spoken about this week. So Yesterday, Cherry and Lockdown, a fact for each film. Two are true and one is a lie. And you just got to tell me which is the lie, okay?
Okay.
All right, you ready to go?
In the spirit of Yesterday, yes.
Nice, that's what I like it. Okay, ready. So I'm going to read all three facts and then I'll let you decide. So fact one, Stephen Knight wrote the screenplay for Lockdown in July of 2020. As part of a dare. Fact two, Tom Holland lost 30 pounds for his role in Cherry. And fact three, Salma Hayek was originally cast as the mother in Yesterday, but was later replaced by Jennifer Garner. So we got fact one, Stephen Knight doing it for a dare, writing the screenplay. Fact two, Tom Holland lost 30 pounds for Cherry. Or is it fact three, Salma Hayek was originally cast as the mother, but then Jennifer Garner said, no, I want a bit of that.
I don't know if that's too obvious, but I feel like the Yesterday one is probably true. I could definitely see that casting. Writing Lockdown as a dare almost makes it... No, it doesn't make it more acceptable. It's still terrible, but it makes sense. I
banter? Banter?
So bad. And Tom Holland, he is like really big for Spider-Man, but £30 is quite a lot. I don't know if he would have lost that much... and you said you spotted an extra ab, so I think the Tom Holland one is the lie.
Okay, are you ready for the result?
Drum roll.
And you're wrong! Oh!
No.
It's so bad. Every time they're wrong, I feel good, like, because I feel like I've done a good job. I'm sorry. You are wrong. The lie was Salma Hayek.
Oh,
you see what I did there? Yeah. I was like, reverse psychology, baby. And in fact, Stephen Knight did write the screenplay as part of a dare. Love Wikipedia?
Wow. So was the dare to make, like, write one of the worst films like ever made? Because he definitely nailed that, if that was the dare.
Mm. Absolutely. But,
and I think, Dan, were you being sneaky there? Because I would have said, just out of, you know, solidarity, I would have said the exact same thing because of you picking up on the ab thing. So was that like a slight little...
No. I wasn't saying that at all. And I was going to intervene then. I'm sorry. No, I'm just like, I go for very obscure ones. And I was surprised by the Stephen Knight one. Right, I can't believe that. I mean, it's on Wikipedia, so I'm guessing it's true. I don't know, probably not. There we are. Well, unfortunately, nobody's won so far, but fingers crossed, somebody will win one day. We still got $100,000 in our bank ready to send. Just kidding. You get a free copy of Lockdown.
Hamish is glad he didn't win.
Oh, what a show. That's all we've got time for today's episode. Hamish, it has always been a pleasure to have you on. We love you. You're welcome anytime. It just feels like we're all hanging out, doesn't it? It feels so natural.
It does. It does.
Thank you for coming on. Before you go, Hamish, do you want to plug yourself a little bit and tell everybody where you can find yourself online?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, just at Hamish Calvert. And that's where I mainly post about any writing I do. So either for Jump Cut Online or Itchy Movie Reviews or some other freelance stuff. So that's probably the best place to find me and see what I'm up to. But yeah, thanks guys for having me back. It's great crack as always. So hopefully it won't be too long till the next time.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Definitely not.
And good luck with the film festivals. Our heart goes out to you. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be harder, the film festival or Zack Snyder's Justice League.
I don't know. I can't decide.
Oh, bless you, mate. Thanks for coming on again. And thank you, Joe, as always. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Dan. The pleasure is all mine. I've really enjoyed tonight.
And next time I see you, your hair will be transformed. Nice.
It will.
Trim.
I'll send you a nice picture tomorrow because I know you like. I know you like to keep.
Oh, I'll be like Tom Holland in the camera.
You will. Is there a porta cabin? Anywhere?
Is there a porta cabin? you filth, wish.
Filth. This show has been nothing but filth.
Dirty. Thank you, Joe. And don't forget, you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook under the Dan and Joe Film Show. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DJ Film Show. And you can also listen to all of our old episodes on Mixcloud, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. So check those out. And we'll see you next time for our next episode. Stay safe, lots of love, and goodbye.
Bye-bye.